This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
You are listening to the next episode of PT Talker, and our topic today, empowering patient autonomy, of course, for extraordinary outcomes. Brought to you by Advantage Medical, and joining us today is Dr. Stacy Zeigler. She is a clinical associate professor at the Department of Physical Therapy at Clarkson University in New York. Welcome to PT Talker, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
You are the expert on what is going on with empowering patient autonomy. Now, that's kind of a mouthful. Maybe our listeners know what that means, but let's just start out, if we can. Can you kind of define why you decided, and I should say you were a presenter at the recent APTA-CSM meeting, which was in, New Orleans? February, correct?
Yeah.
So you were asked to provide a presentation, and let's just kind of define real quick, what do you mean by empowering patient autonomy? What's the big deal there, and why do we care?
Okay. Well, patient autonomy, if you get into the literature, you can find numerous definitions of that. But our definition that we were focusing on with the presentation was that autonomy is a personal rule of the self that's free from both controlling interferences by others and from personal limitations that prevent meaningful choice. So you have kind of a moral component to it, and you also have a psychological component to it. But basically, overall, the patient has been empowered enough by the practitioner in order to make their own decisions in the treatment process is our focus on that.
Okay. Now, I hang out with physical therapists a lot, and I would have to say that I'll bet if you ask the typical PT that's practicing out there, do you think you empower your patients? Do they participate in choosing their goals and being a part of their treatment plan? I'll bet they'd say, yeah, I do that. What's the need for your talk and your presentation to APTA?
Well, that's a great question, and my response to that is I personally can speak from personal experience first and then also from the literature, but personal experience of mine was that I truly felt that I had always been practicing with the patient at the center and had been including the patient in their goal setting and treatment setting because we always ask them, what's your goal? But that's about as far as it had gone for me until I started practicing with a local hospice organization. And when you see what patient-centered means to them and that we are constantly telling the patient, you're the boss, we'll do whatever you want to do, you're the boss, that really was like, wow, this is patient-centered. And what I had previously been experiencing was basically only holding a candle to what I experienced there. Now, when you look at the research also, and this is partly what got me interested in some of the research that's available on how do physical therapists do with including patients in goal setting and including patients in creating the treatment plan. And what we find through the literature is that historically we really haven't done very well. And that's not to say that we are the problem in particular compared to other healthcare professions, but indeed collectively in the United States healthcare anyway, we tend to do fairly poorly with those aspects of care. So there is evidence to show that we could do a much better job.
Okay.
In that aspect.
Okay, so the assumption then is that by getting the patients more involved in, and I may be making this too simple, but in they are establishing what they want to get out of the treatment plan. So they're establishing the goals. Is that, you know, and then is the assumption that we're going to have better outcomes?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
When we talk about quality in healthcare, a quality encounter with a patient can only be defined by the patient. We can't tell them what we think was quality. So in order to understand their perspective, we have to have their participation in this particular process. Or else we're just doing what we feel is best for that person.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Dr. Stacy Zeigler, who was a presenter at CSM recently at the APTA Combined Sections meeting, and we're talking about empowering patient autonomy for extraordinary outcomes. So, doctor, let's just say that a patient maybe is not as motivated as your average patient to get better. How is that affected, or how would this model be affected?
Right, and there's two aspects to that motivation. One is motivation, the term itself, is actually a combination of motive plus action. And quite frankly, there's always something that the patient is interested in, otherwise they wouldn't be sitting in your seat, in your chair in front of you.
And spending money, obviously, probably.
And spending money, exactly.
Okay.
So
yeah, good point.
It's a matter of first and foremost finding out what is their motivation for being there. We make a general assumption, again, that they're there because they want to get better and they want to go back to, you know, their life. Either they want to get out of the hospital, they want to go back to a sport they were playing before, who knows, you know. But in reality, when we start talking in their language and we start understanding from their perspective, they tend to speak in the more social roles. You know, I want to be able to pick up my grandchild. I want to, you know, and so we have to start thinking in their perspective and in pulling in that participation model. The other aspect of that question when you ask it is that most of the time the feedback I get from physical therapists, their instant response is this. They say, well, I've got people all the time that basically say to me, well, patients don't want to make their own decisions. Sometimes that's true. They say, and I've had patients say this to me before, they say, well, you're the expert. You tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. That's good, but at least you have to give them the option. That's still their choice in the treatment planning process and the goal-setting process. You offer them the choice, and you find out how much involvement they want to have in that particular process.
So in the case of the therapist who's working with a knee patient, let's just say, and I guess I'm imagining that they're thinking about full extension and range of motion and pain-free, that kind of thing, are you advocating that they should be thinking more about, you know, I want to be able to get down on the floor and play trucks with my grandchild?
Actually, that's what they're thinking. We're the ones that are technically thinking we have to get them full extension, we have to get them full flexion, we have to get their strength back and their quadricep muscles. Those are the technical aspects that we tend to think of, whereas their perspective is, I just want to be able to do the trucks on the floor with my grandchild.
Yeah.
So if we can understand their process, we may be able to think of things, yes, we still have to have the technical aspects, that's our role, but we may also be able to think of alternatives in the meanwhile, of what they could be doing in order to participate in that along the way.
Okay. So in the beginning meeting that when the therapist and the patient first meet, how do you see that meeting being different using, you know, trying to empower the patient? Is there a different conversation that takes place? What would our listeners do out there in the field tomorrow to try and be more patient-centric?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question, and that's where we had taken our presentation at CSM as well. What do we do? What actions do we need to take? How can we make things different? The first thing I would say is to probably self-assess your own current practices and potentially to engage yourself in either a course that you can take or in a communication textbook or there's also something known as motivational interviewing and the Ozer-Peyton-Nelson method, and there's multiple things out there that we can use as tools to hone our own abilities in these particular areas. But it really engages and focuses around the process of communication. One of the first things that people need to do is to understand, you know, how close am I and what are my beliefs about engaging that patient? And once we can move beyond that, then we can get into the technical details of how do I make myself better. And one of the second things that you can do to basically start by having the discussion with the patient client about how much, where are they on this decision-making continuum? Understand from their perspective, do they want you to make the decisions from your own expertise without their involvement, or do they want to have full and ultimate control of that decision-making process? and some, or are they somewhere along that continuum? Once you've established that, and again, there are tools that can be used for that that are existing and out there already. Once you can do that, then you know how to engage the patient.
Okay.
A little bit more.
All right. So let's try and clearly maybe identify some of those tools that are out there. I know you rattled off a couple of those. Is there any way you could give me? Do you have that information handy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go ahead and name off some tools that might exist out there, just for people that are listening that may have not had a pen ready before.
Okay. One of the things, as far as establishing someone's decision-making preferences,
mm-hmm.
An easy thing to do is to actually go ahead and Google that, and you'll come up with lots of different things.
Okay.
On there. One other that comes right off the tongue, and what we one of the ones we highlighted, there's something called the Control Preferences Scale. And that was done with in a 1997 study by Degner, and it basically gives the patient client five choices in the range that I talked about, and they can look at the wording and which goes from a more active role that they want to take to a more passive role that they would like to take. And it centers around physician, but you can easily change that terminology to physical therapist.
Okay.
So that's another good example. When it comes to the communication aspects of things and how do you perform interviewing, let's say, that focuses on patient autonomy, one of the ones in a course that I had taken that really helped me to understand, probably one of the most powerful courses I had done, is the Ozer-Peyton-Nelson method of communication. And there is a study, there's also a book from the 1990s by Ozer, and they have coursework out there that is a three-step course, so the Ozer-Peyton-Nelson method of communication.
Okay.
Another is called the Four Habits Model, and this is another one that we highlighted. Again, the list of these goes on, and you can find what matches you most by looking into this deeper. But we have the Four Habits Model, and that was a 2010 study, very recent, by Rao. And basically what that is a teaching and research framework that describes the sequence of important communication behaviors during an outpatient encounter from both the practitioner and the patient perspective. So what happens with that is it's almost like a script, if you can think of it that way. It has things that the practitioner would say to become more empowered, and it has things the patient might say to improve their empowerment. So it's both useful to the practitioner as well as coaching the individual patient of what you're looking for to get them better at engaging in the goal setting and the treatment planning process.
Perfect. Perfect. That ought to be a good start for anyone that might be listening. Out of left field here, were there any handouts from your presentation that you might be willing to share with anyone that might be interested?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And if they want to email me or if they have a mechanism through you,
yeah.
I think that would be great.
If it's something you could send to us, we'll go ahead and post it on the blog and people can just download it if you're comfortable with that, and certainly giving credit to you.
Right, that's great.
Would that work?
Yes, because we had several slides, just to let everybody know what we had. We had several slides that were a table, and the tables were patient-directed tools for empowering patient autonomy, and then there were also practitioner-directed tools for improving patient autonomy. So I think those in particular would be most useful to everyone.
Great. We will definitely post those at www.pttalker.com under Dr. Stacy Zeigler, under her a podcast in the upcoming, for this week that you're listening to. So, Dr. Zeigler, thank you so much. We're sadly out of time, but it's been very, very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing it with our listeners.
No problem. It's been great fun. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been listening, as I said, to Dr. Stacy Zeigler. She's also the owner of Fun and Aging Physical Therapy in Potsdam, New York, which is where she also is a clinical associate professor at Clarkson University. That your private practice tends to be an in-home, with the name, there's got to be something with geriatrics. Tell us just real quick and give a plug for your PT clinic.
Oh, okay. My practice is called Fun in Aging Physical Therapy, and we focus on the higher end of function into fitness and then fun for the aging population. So it's in-home wellness and fitness for those that are interested in doing that. We're basically trying to change the culture of aging.
Great. And it's going well?
It is. It's going great.
All right. Okay, so anyone that has any additional information, lots packed into this episode of PT Talker, just feel free to send me a quick email to feedback@pttalker.com, and I'll make sure we get your request answered. Well, you have been listening to another expert here on PT Talker. We bring you an expert each and every week, trying to help everyone be better physical therapists. And hopefully everyone out there is finding the information useful. And if so, would you mind sharing it with your peers? Let all your other physical therapy friends know about PT Talker. You can also find us on iTunes. Previous episodes are available there. So this is Jeff Worrell saying, hope that everyone out there is doing something to help someone get well today. Thanks for listening.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.